Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
And then our third point, are you ready to listen? He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. In other words, they're looking at the whole thing through a keyhole and he just burst down the door. He just knocked it down. And so this is, and it's a shame that they don't give us more, but they give us enough clues here. This is the most amazing Bible study of all time. Because Jesus is the one who sat there and said, okay, well, Genesis 1:1, here's how this works. And he is unpacking all of Scripture for them. So I'm just going to give you a miniature version of the whole thing. What is it that he is trying to say? Well, there's two clues. Did not the Messiah have to suffer, beginning with Moses and all the prophets? The Old Testament has three parts. The law, the prophets, and poetry. Three parts. So two out of the three, he's going to unpack it for them. The poetry more, there's just different stuff going on there. So what about Moses? When you say Moses, you're talking about the law, right? So what is it about the law? Well, a law needs to be kept. Law needs to be obeyed, right? And so people who do not obey the law, people who don't keep the law, there are consequences. There is a life that has to be lived. The prophets, speaking to Israel, don't seek idols. You're dishonoring the king. Think about the typical message of the prophets. It was just trying to get Israel or the king and bring them back into the will and way of God for the nation. So there's a life that has to be lived, and there's a debt that has to be paid. And this is where Israel just couldn't make heads or tails of the whole thing that Jesus was saying. And here's where some people, even in churches sitting today, or in our society, they struggle. Why does Jesus have to die? Right? Why? There's a debt to be paid, and there's a life to be lived. And the only way that the debt can be paid is if someone pays it for you. And the kind of debt that we're talking about is not that you can just say, how much was that? Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. George, don't worry about it. I got it here. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about eternity forever, joyful, eternal kingdom, or we're talking about hell. You just don't pull something out of your pocket and put it on the table and say, and God is like, oh, yeah, well, that's perfect. Oh, everything is square. That's not the way this works. So in order to take our place, there has to be a sacrifice of a life. And not only a sacrifice of a life, but that life has to be lived a certain way. Because God is a holy God, a perfect God, and he will accept nothing else but holy and perfection in his presence. That's it. There is nobody getting in because they're a nice person, because they kind of tried hard, because my grandma went to church, because so-and-so, because my mom. Holy and perfect, period. End of story. And so that's why when you back up and you say, this is the amazing thing about this Bible study, you have Jesus who says, well, there's this law that God gave you. And your biggest mistake was trying to keep it because you can't. And that was the whole purpose of the law, to show you how far the standards of God are to our behavior. And for you to stand there and say, so how does this work? I will fulfill the law for you because you can't. But I will give it to you as a free gift. And then say, wait a minute, but the law is not only demanding it's demanding certain things, but it's asking me to live a certain way. I can't live the way the law wants me to. I'll give you that too, because I live perfectly. So I offer my sacrifice. I take your place at the cross. I substitute for you, and I live the life that you can never live, and I give them to you freely when you put your faith in me as Lord and Savior. There's the exchange. And that's what's happening here. And that's why I entitled this third point, Are You Ready to Listen? Because here's Jesus who is saying, everything that our forefathers have taught us. It's my story. The Bible, is the Bible about God's redemption of our world and our lives? Absolutely. Is the Bible basically Jesus' autobiography? Absolutely. If you want to see him as a person, his character, his outworking, you begin in Genesis chapter 1 and you go all the way to Revelation, to the last verse of the Bible, and you will see his life transparently on display for you. You say to yourself, well, wait a minute, Pastor. What do you mean the Old Testament? I'll throw a little word out to you. Type. Right? Type. So when I say to you, the ark is a type of Christ, what I'm communicating to you is that Jesus is the person that you put your life in his hands to protect you from the waters of judgment. Can we see that? And then you say to yourself, but there's a rainbow. You say, okay, well, that is a type of Christ because he is the great promise that God has said, I will never destroy you. You have a place with me. Jesus is a type of Isaac, the promised son. He is a type of the ram, the substitute sacrifice. Abraham, don't touch your son. Here is the ram in his place. He is a type of the manna falling from the sky to provide for God's people that they would be satisfied, the hunger quenched forever. He is the water coming from the rock to satisfy and quench our souls. He is the true Joshua. As you saw in the video last week, for those of you who are here or watched it online, he is that fearless leader who leads his new nation, his new church, into the great kingdom of God, to the new promised land. He is the new David, the type of David that he loves his father with all of his heart and soul, gives his life for the father's will. He is a type of Solomon, the wisest, the wisdom of God on display. He is a type of the temple, the true meeting place of God with his people. And that is the stage upon which the New Testament, the actors of the New Testament, do their thing. That we watch Paul and Peter and the miracles, but it's all on the foundation of that stage where Jesus is showing you exactly who he is. And that's what this Bible study was about, church. Don't miss that. The Bible has been talking about Jesus since Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And here's the thing. Let's make sure we understand something too before we close. A lot of people say, especially those who don't believe sometimes or they have their questions, you know, well, where did you get that from? You know, how did you get to that? You know, how did you get to that conclusion? You know, did somebody just write it? One of these theologians, one of these scholars, one of these thinkers? No, Jesus did. Because that's what this Bible study is about. And when these two go back, they're like, you're not going to believe the Bible study that we just had. Right? And blah, 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 blah. Are you sure? Yeah. And then 50 days later, when the Holy Spirit is poured out and Peter preaches his first sermon, it's all based on the Old Testament. The whole thing. And so God gives these people insight, these disciples, these leaders, insight into how the old completes the new, how the old is the foundation for the new, how the old has always been pointing at this Jesus, and all that we do is follow their example. Pastors get themselves in trouble when they try to step outside of that, and they're easy to identify, easy to find. And so when you stay here within what Christ teaches, then you're like, and it's funny because your heart says, aha, I see it. I see it. It's easy to see. And it started with Christ, and then in Pentecost, it's all put together. So let's finish by saying this, church. As they approached the village, verse 28, to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he were going farther. I love it how he always pretends. Jesus always pretends. He's going to keep walking. He's been with you the whole way. He's been showing you his presence. He's been showing you his posture. He's been showing his provision, right? But he's going to pretend to go a little farther. You know? And so it says, they say, oh, no, no, they urged him strongly. The language there is language of force. They're basically saying, no, you can't keep walking. It's dangerous. The sun's going down. You didn't travel roads alone in the ancient world in this way. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. What a beautiful phrase. So church, this morning, first thing as we close, invite him to stay. Don't let Jesus just be a visitor, someone you meet at Bible study, someone you just meet with on Sundays. Invite him to stay with you every step of the way. And when you invite him in, just prepare yourself for this part. Notice what happened at the table. Jesus takes the place of Cleopas. I'm identifying him because that's the male that we have identified, and he would probably be the one who would sit at the table, at the head of the table of his home. Jesus sits there. So can you imagine this guy? You know, he's walking up to the table, and he's like, oh, that's my seat. No, it's not. It's his seat. That's where he sits. That's his place. And he was the one, the head of the household, was the one who was supposed to break the food and give it to people, not the guests. But he takes his place at the head of the table. And he is the one who provides. He's the one who leads and guides the moment because he wants to fellowship with you. So church, if you're going to ask Jesus to stay, then you must allow him to sit at the head of the table of your home and of your house. You can't have it both ways. You can't invite him in, you know, and they say, well, no, but you just, you know, go to the third bedroom, you know, and we'll bring you some food. We'll slide it under the door. Just behave. No, you can't do that. If you're going to invite him in, then he becomes king. Becomes king. It's king or nothing. And so that's what you see here. He's not the guest. He's the host. And church, what is so striking and what is so radical and powerful to me that I want to share with you today, and maybe I preached this 5 years ago, I don't know. But when they, obviously God is veiling their eyes. They can't see him because God wants these two to learn something to take it back to the others. But there is just this beauty in the fact that Jesus is sitting there, right? And when he takes the bread, he's going to have to break it. And when he breaks it, right? If any of us sat here, we just took a piece of bread and we would break it. You would see hands. You would see the back. And the marks are there from the cross of just 3 days ago. They can see the marks. And of course, God in his perfect timing and sovereignty, you know, there comes, whoop, there goes the veil. And they're like, it's you. And then he's gone. Whoa. Forget about Hollywood. This is action. This is drama right here. They saw it for just 2 seconds and then he's gone. When you allow Jesus to stay with you and when you allow him to be the head of the household, not the guest, you're going to realize it's not a power thing, it's a love thing. Because you're going to see the marks in his hands. You're going to see the marks on his forehead. You're going to see the sacrifice. And when you see that, then you're going to say to yourself, I should have let him be the king and the Lord all along. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late to let him be what he is supposed to be. Jesus is never going to force himself on you, church. That's why he was pretending to go a little farther. You need to take that step to invite him in. You need to be the one who realizes how much you need him. See, he doesn't need to be invited into your house. You know what I'm saying? Like as if he had some kind of need. You are the one who has to realize, I need this king. I need this Lord. I need this Messiah. I need this Savior. I need you to stay with me. Here. Don't go. Don't keep walking. I don't care where you have to go to the next house. You're staying in this one. Realize your need for the king. And it shouldn't surprise you because the first thing out of his mouth when he started to teach is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Do you see how it always echoes itself in Scripture? Beautiful. Those who realize they need Jesus are knocking on the door of the kingdom church. Invite him in. And then here's the last little piece of what the professor is teaching us as he's preparing us in this internship that we're in. He disappears, and you would think that the story ends there. Their hearts are so stirred. Their hearts are so staggered that he was with them all along, that he unpacked the Bible, the Scripture, the only Bible they knew to them, that they feel a conviction. They have to stand up from their table, not even finishing their meal, probably munching as they get to the door and chugging something as they're on the door, and they go 7 miles back. You try to run 7 miles. I want to make it to the end of the block right now. I'm so out of shape, right? You try running 7 miles back before the sun goes down the whole way, and those roads were dangerous. They run. They don't walk. They run back to their family of faith, to their church. And they say, look at what Jesus has taught us and what he did. And that's why this is so beautiful. And that's why I'm so glad that we're slowly getting little by little on the other side of this virus so we can come back together again, because we are supposed to share these stories here amongst us. And that's the beauty of Bible study. That's why I encourage you so much. You know, men, please see George. Women, go, because it's part of the story. You see, what one of the things the professor is doing, the professor is taking you from being just a disciple, which is more of a one-on-one with Jesus, to a witness. Private life to public life. He's transitioning you. He wants you to stay disciple, stay connected to me one-on-one, but that one-on-one has to lead to witness. And then you go out and you share the Jesus moment, the presence, the posture, the providing, the power. You share it with another because you just can't keep it to yourself. Because if you are keeping it to yourself, that tells me that you think he's a prophet, you're hoping things. You don't see the whole picture of who he is and you're not trusting. Do you see the difference now? Because when you're convinced about something, you share it. You tell people. You tell people, oh, you know, I just left Target. You have to hurry up because it's a buy one, get one. Hurry. Hurry. Because they're going to run out of cotton balls. Do you not do that, yes or no?
Yes.
You know, the cupcakes, they're on sale. Hurry, buy the Easter candy for next year. You know you did it, parents. You bought the fake little plastic eggs. You have them hiding in the closet somewhere. Yes, you did. Oh, because it was like, you know, instead of $5, it's $1 for 1,000. That's my point. My point. You see it, and it's so special, and it's a thing that you're like, I've got to give it to somebody else. And when you see Jesus on the IMAX screen, you will give him to somebody else. So, church, change theaters and see him on the big screen for who he is. Beginning from the beginning of Scripture, all these types, all this unpacking, unfolding into the Jesus that you see. And now the professor is saying, listen, we're going to do the one-on-one thing, but you got to go and tell. It's time. And that's going to be the internship. It's coming up just a few weeks. That's going to be the transition. But church, final word, especially in 2021, as we navigate cultural, societal, political, everything in our society, ask him to stay with you. Ask him to stay. Ask him to be there with you, no matter what. No matter what. And I think that if you do that, then that road that we all walk, that sometimes has its joy and its sorrows, its explosions and its wonderful moments, will be so much better, so much smoother, so much more a blessing, because the King and the Lord is walking right next to us. And so first step after Easter, church, ask him to stay. First step after Easter, church, ask him to walk alongside you. First step after Easter, church, ask him to just open your mind and heart to everything that the Scripture is saying about him, and allow your view to be expanded. Allow yourself to be blown away every day because of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. And then go and tell. That's my desire for you this morning. Can we say amen, church? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you that he walks alongside us, always with us, never abandons. Even when it feels that we're alone sometimes, he's there, faithfully walking, faithfully waiting to expand and to share. I pray that we would stop, lean in, listen, learn, that we would experience your peace, even in the middle of troubling moments, that we would allow you to speak into our lives, and that we would live in that word for us, not just observing it from the outside, but step into what you have promised us, what there is to gain, that our lives might radically change. Stay with us, Jesus. Stay with us, Jesus. We can't walk the road without you. And we don't want to. Stay with us, Jesus. It's our prayer this morning. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.